I want to talk to you today about probably the greatest New Year resolution you can do. Amen. Matthew 26, we're going to look at the mystery of kingdom exchange. Say kingdom exchange. Glory to God. When you go into the Father, it's more than just requesting. It says enter into the door, shut the door, and your Father's there. It is in secret, and you pray to Him, and then He got you in position. Then He said, and this is how to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Worship, intimacy, union, all of that. And then it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. That's actually a transference. Amen. You're going to be a part of that equation. When the kingdom of God comes, it's not just going to fall out. There are times that God will fall out. But more times than not, if you'll study, when those fallouts come, they lift. They don't last very long because they're what's called visitation. The habitation, you're going to be intricately involved in the process of habitation because the kingdom of God, God's going to use you. Amen. He's going to position you. You're going to receive transferences from heaven above. God's going to directly transfer to you. And so this is what we're talking about, kingdom exchange, kingdom transference. We're going to look at this a little bit more. We looked at this last week. So we're going to look at the Lord in the garden for a minute because this is a really powerful example. Even the Lord himself was surrendered into the Father. He said, I can do nothing of myself. I only can do what I see my Father doing. He said, the works that I do, I don't even do. That's pretty amazing because a lot of people thought the Lord was going around. He tried to tell them. He goes, I'm not doing this. This is my Father doing them. He goes, he testified that it was the Father doing the works. He testified, I and my Father are one. It's my Father that doeth these works. He would testify, he goes, I myself can do nothing. He was trying to tell them, I'm representing the Father. I didn't come to represent myself. I come to represent him, and I come to bring you to him. That was his mission, not just to save you, but his full mission was to bring you and to restore you into the presence of the Father, the reconciliation back to the Father like Adam was. He wanted to bring you back into that union. That's his highest goal for all of us is divine union. Amen. We're going to look at the fact that even him, when he had to do anything, he was surrendered. But the garden gives us a very powerful example of this. So Matthew 26, verse 36 says, then cometh Jesus into the place called Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, he knows he's about to go into the cross. He knows he's about to pay the price. And the weightiness of what he's about to do is already coming upon him in the garden. And even the Lord, when the Father had called him to do something, he did not call him to do it in his own strength. And you're going to find an incredible example here how the Lord exchanged who he was for who the Father was. He didn't have to do all this alone. The Father was with him. But the battle for all of it was in the garden. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry with me. And he went a little further. Say, he went a little further. Now, that's a really powerful principle there. He's praying, but he went a little further. Sometimes you're going to have to go a little further. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to go a little further. Don't back up. Go a little further. This year, we're going to go a little further. Everyone asks me, goes, you think this is the year? I said, I know. This much I know, we're going to go a little further. We're always growing and developing. Last year was such an incredibly fruitful year in the Spirit. But all that's going to eventually pour out, amen, because he's training and equipping us in some wonderful things. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I mean, he's in a struggle. He's carrying this. He knows what's happened, but right there, he's in his humanity, and he needs to get his Father on him. That's what he's trying to do, is get in there and come out of that place clothed in the Father. His first time in, he didn't. He left that place, went to Peter and John. He said, Peter, could you not pray with me? Peter's sleeping. Right-hand man is sleeping. has to go back in with a weightiness. And that's right. He says it again. Father, let this cup pass from me. He's in a struggle. He's not yet obtained. Prayer is to obtain. It's not just to spend time. God is not calling you to spend time just to ease your conscience and say, okay, I've spent time. My conscience has been eased. I can go on about my day. That's not what prayer was about. Prayer was to exchange who you are for who he is. And prayer is a place of exchange. It's a position of exchange. Come boldly, it says, under the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace in your time of need. We are going to become skilled at exchanging. Because when you exchange who you are for who he is, you're going to come out with the kingdom of God upon you. You're going to come out with breakthrough upon you. You're going to come out with a blessing of God upon you. And you're going to come out with power upon you. It's a secret to great power. It's a secret to glory. It's the exchange. He comes back out. He still hasn't obtained. This is the Lord Jesus prayed twice and has not obtained. Everybody gets the impression he had it easy. He didn't have it any easier than you did. He was tempted in all points like us, yet without sin. And the reason is because he knew how to get a hold of his Father. So the second time he didn't, and the Bible says the third time he went back and prayed. But we know when he came out that third time, something happened. He knew he had to keep going back. He knew he had to go a little further. He knew he had to obtain. He could not do what God was asking him to do in his own strength, and he knew it. The weightiness was upon him. He knew he couldn't do that without God on him. Too many times we're trying to do things that God's called us to do, but we haven't made the exchange. That's what God wants us to learn, how to exchange. Amen. Your sufficiency for his grace. Glory to God. Well, honey, you know, he obtained. Go to John 18. Now, John 14, 15, 16, 17, he's in the upper room with 11. He's talking about union. He's talking about oneness. He comes right out of the upper room and goes straight in the garden. He's already prayed those three times. But now we see him come out of that third session with his Father and something happened. If you don't get it the first time, keep going. It's not unbelief just because you don't obtain. Sometimes you have to surrender. Sometimes there are things in weightiness upon you that has to be surrendered. Sometimes there's too much of you. Believe it or not. So John 18, 3. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Judas was with them. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him. Now, he had just gone through. We know that that was right after that third time he went to the Father. He comes out of the prayer closet. He comes out of the garden. He knows they're there and he's coming out to meet them. He doesn't wait for them to get to him. He comes out to meet them. He says, who do you seek? They say, we seek Jesus. And he said, I am he. And as soon as he said that, the power of God hit him and knocked every one of them down. All of those men were knocked flat on their face, slain in the spirit, Judas included. That's verse 6. As soon as then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. That was the power of God upon him. That was the difference between him struggling in the garden he'd obtained. And he came out of that garden with the power of God on him. And that tells me, not only did that, he came out and said, do you not know? Because that's when Peter cuts the ear off of Malchus, and Jesus takes that ear and slaps it on his head. He is flowing in the miraculous. He said, do you not know that I can presently call 6 legions of angels of my Father? That's a far cry different than those 3 times he was going in. He knew how to obtain. That was his secret. He knew how to exchange in the Father. When he was going in one second time, third time, he had not made the exchange. When he come out that third time, the exchange had been made. The glory was on him. The power was on him. And that, my friends, is the secret right there. Hallelujah forever. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under. He didn't say just humble yourself. He said, humble yourself under the mighty right hand of God. See, until you realize that you cannot obtain without him, you'll keep doing it without him. And when we keep doing without him, we get limited results. Because God can put a gift upon you. And in that gift, he will allocate certain things towards you just by gift. It does not require the union. You just get it. But when you start operating by union and glory, you have to obtain like the Lord did. The Lord had to obtain from his Father. We have to humble ourselves under the mighty right hand of God. He may exalt us in due time. Look at that. Casting, look at this, all of your care, worry, fear, frustration, the systems of this world. The Bible says, put off the old man and his deeds. Where do you think you do that at? You don't put off the old man in this jurisdiction because it's owned by this jurisdiction. You got to go before him to put off the old man and put on the new. Say, put on the new. We talked about this Wednesday night. We were buried with him in baptism, raised with him in glory. Buried in baptism. Say, buried in baptism. Raised in glory. Crucified with Christ. That doesn't sound very fun, does it? That's actually, believe it or not, an operation of God. He paid the price all up front and gave you a positional truth in a position with him. As old man crucified, new man raised in glory. But we have to enter into those things. Amen? That's what the Lord was doing. Burying the old so the Father could clothe them in the new. Amen. Casting all of our care. That's what happens. That's what we have to be skilled at. Because we don't know how to get all the pressure off of us. The care off of us. You end up wearing it. And when you end up wearing it, it's called oppression. And in ministry, in carrying the glory, the enemy will see to it that you will have plenty of trials in this life. He'll constantly barrage you. I'll prove it, case in point. How many of you in this house went through a lot last year? Raise your hand. You think this year is going to be any different? Yes. Yes, it's going to be different. Not that he's going to stop his stuff. You're going to rise above it. You're going to cast it off of you. You're going to get to the point where you can say, shoo fly. You're going to get to the point where you can cast that stuff that he's trying to put on you. You ever been in a glorious, powerful service? I mean, the glory, and then somebody's just going through all kinds of things at the end of the service, trying to just throw that on you. I mean, because you're like in the light and the glory, and they're not. They're trying to throw that on you. You cannot wear this world system and be successful in God. You have to learn to exchange. It is your God inherited right as a son and daughter to exchange. Nobody's going to walk around this world and be perfect, free of affliction. The enemy will afflict you in this life. The Bible says, in me there is peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but don't worry about it. I've overcome it. Just get into me. The more I'm into him, the more I marvel how powerful he is. How I marvel that I can hide up into him. I marvel at his strength. I marvel at his power, his glory, and his strength. There's so many marvelous things about him. When you hide yourself in him, you don't have to wear the oppressions of this world. If you're wearing consistently pain, oppression, it's because you haven't learned how to exchange. And until you learn how to exchange, you probably will continue to wear things that don't belong to you. Amen? Sometimes you can shake it off, but more times than off, you have to go to him. Amen? Now, I want you to go to Luke chapter 9. I want to share with you some insights the Lord gave me about the Mount of Transfiguration. There's a lot going on there. But I want to look at a few things about this encounter the Lord had when he went up into this mountain with his Father. We'll look at verse 28, Luke 9. It came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James. He always took those three. And he went up into the mountain to pray. You got to get up in the mountain of God. Moses went into the mountain. We don't have any mountains in Houston, but God has a mountain in the spirit. It's called Mount Zion. You climb all the way up in there. Amen. Blessed is Psalms 84, blessed is the man in whose heart are the highways, say highways, of Zion. The highways of Zion in your heart, you'll find it. If the highways of Zion are not in your heart, you won't. It's all about your compass. It's all about what's going on inside here. It's all about who's teaching you. You're a sum product, believe it or not, of your compass. Your compass can get set. That's why he said, if the blind are leading the blind, you're both in the ditch. Because you've got the guy in the ditch's compass, and you're going to end up in there with him. How can a guy that's in a ditch lead you up the mountain? He can't. He's going to lead you right in the same place he's in. I marvel sometimes. The people that are in a place that's all broken down and busted and disgusted. As well, God told me to be there. And I'm like, well, I don't know if he would ask you to be in that. I mean, do you have any idea where you're going to go and where you're going to be in a year? You got to watch who's leading you. Amen. That's the thing you need to ask yourself. Not about how good a department's. Where are you going? What are you saying? Amen. Glory to God. Anyway, I'll get off of that. So he went up in the mountain to pray, verse 29, and as he prayed, now this is powerful, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, Moses and Elijah. Now the reason Moses and Elijah were there, they represented the law and the prophets, and they were there to bear witness of the new creation, say the new creation, the restored glory that the Lord Jesus, the last Adam, was going to restore. They were witnesses. The law and the prophets were all witnesses of that which was to come. And now they're standing. And here's even a greater revelation. You can imagine that Moses, 80 years, 40 years, and then 40 years of serving God, and then he gets up into the mountain. Is it Mount Nebo? I think it's Mount Nebo, and he can't even go into the promised land. All he gets to do is get up in the mountain, and he gets to look. That's all he got to do is look. 120 years old, all he gets to do is look into the promised land. After all that, just because he struck the rock twice? I can imagine most of us in here have done worse than that. I'm like, Lord, that's harsh. I understand the rock was Christ and you're going to strike him once and it's a finished work. And I get all that, but he didn't know that. And he had to deal with those people. That was a rebellious people. I said, Lord, you're very harsh on him. I was telling God about it one day. I said, I've gotten away a lot worse than that. And he said, yeah, but you didn't know my final plan for him. I did deny him that day. That he couldn't go in because I had a greater plan for him. To stand on that mountain at the time of the very one he represented, that he foreshadowed, he got to see the Lord in his glory. For the first time ever, he stepped foot on the promised land at the time of the one he was foreshadowing. And that was God the Father's higher purpose and higher plan. Isn't that glorious? They were there! Bearing witness, and Peter, James, and John were the new witnesses. They were there bearing witness of the glory. They were looking at the glory that's restored glory.
The Father was restoring it. He lit the Lord Jesus up in that glory. Just like he did with Moses. Moses came down and his face was shining. They were there to bear witness of the glory you and I now have. That's what was going on up there. Now notice what happens. Verse 32, and Peter, when they were with him, were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw, his glory. What was his final prayer to them? Father, I pray they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. They got to see it on him. But the higher purpose was to wear the same glory. Say, wear it. In John 17, 5, he said, Father, clothe me with thine own self. Glorify thou me, Father, with thine own self. That glory that lit the Lord up was the Father dwelling in him. As the Father had life in himself, he gave the Son to have life. When he went up on that mountain, he continually bore witness. It's not I that do these things, but my Father. You got a picture of how that worked. The Father came and dwelt in him. Now, they got to see him light up like that, but when he came down the mountain, nobody saw that glory on him. They saw the result of it, but nobody, he didn't come down looking like a light bulb. He came down just clothed again in his normal suit. He was not glowing like he was up there in the mountain. But the power was on him. How do you know that? We'll show you in a minute. Which tells me that probably happened quite often when he went up with the Father. They just got to see in the Spirit what was going on. It was the Father inhabiting him. They just got to look at it. Because they were there to bear witness of the glory. Now watch this. Watch this. Of course, Peter decides he wants to start talking during this time. It's a good thing when the glory shows up to say as few words as possible. When the glory shows up, it's going to be all about God. It's going to be very little about us. We're just there. I can imagine Peter looking, even right now, thinking, what did I do that for? Even 2,000 years later, he probably is thinking, they're going to read about me for all eternity. We always like to look at Peter, oh dear, the mistakes we make. But he liked to talk. Oh, said, oh, it's good for us to be here. Let's make a tabernacle. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for the Lord. And that cloud that was on the Lord come off of him, or was on him, came over them and swallowed them up in that glory. That was the Father swallowing them up. He says, this is my beloved Son. Hear him now, Peter. He has the new words. It's his words that are going to set the captive free. They are here. What he was saying, they're here only to bear witness, because their whole life was to bear witness of the glory he's carrying now. And he put his glory on them when he said it. Swallowed them up in the cloud. Peter goes, I exceedingly quake in fear. Basically, the Father came, Peter, hush. You're way above your head right now. Way above your pay grade. But the cloud overshadowed. In fact, it said the cloud came over them and swallowed them up into it. Then it spoke. This is the kind of glory the last day church is going to operate in. This is the kind of glory you have access to. Father, clothe me in thine own self. Glorify me with thine own self. It's the glory, is the Father. That is what the glory is the Father's glory comes and clothes. Sometimes it's visible, sometimes it's not. There it was visible. Now when they come down from the mountain, it wasn't visible to everybody. They didn't know what just happened. When Moses came down, it was visible. His face lit up. But the glory was still on him. Now watch what happens. It came to pass, verse 37, that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him.
They always met him when he was coming down from the mountain. The Holy Spirit saw to that. Because that's when he's carrying the glory, see. He'd go up into his Father. He would make that exchange for who he was, for who the Father was. Because he always said, he goes, it's not I'm that's doing these works. My Father in me that's doing it. I and my Father are one. Do you not know that I am in my Father and my Father what? Is in me. He doeth the works. It's my Father that's dwelling in me. But we got to see on the mountain how that worked. That exchange took place. When he came down, nobody could see the Father, but he was wearing the Father. And so they met him in this situation. And behold, a man of the company cried out, verse 38, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son. He is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and suddenly crieth out and teareth him, and he foams again and bruising him hardly, departing from him. And I brought him to your church to cast him out, but they could not. Not a lot different from today's time. Not that we don't get results, but these are the ones. These are the results we want. And Jesus answered, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long am I going to be here and do this for you? Bring him hither. And he was yet coming. The devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed. Say, all amazed. The mighty power of God. Now, you need to go to Matthew 17 at this point. Same story. But something happened. There was a question asked by his church. And since his church, his disciples asked the question, I don't have to ask it. I just to get in on the answer. Amen. Cause they wanted to know, cause you know, those disciples, it reminded me of the days when I was in Norval Hayes Bible School. I mean, we're 3 months old in the Lord, but we knew everything at that point, you know, and if anybody knows anything about Norval Hayes, back in those days, everybody would show up with all the critters. And they, two of them, young men, both of them, totally demon possessed. And of course, we're Bible school students that, you know, we're flexing our spiritual muscles. Say, come on, just give us something here. So we get them in a room, and we start in that room at 11 o'clock at night. And I'll tell you what, I lasted longer than the rest of them. We were still at it at 7 in the morning. And we went through everything from asking their name to screaming, yelling, negotiating to, of course, it cannot be our problem. It must be your unbelief. Breaking generational thing. Everything we could do, we couldn't do nothing. We were just worn out. We had service. All night long, I sat up with that thing. And service was starting at 8:30. And Norval was doing the service. Somebody had a bright idea. Why don't we just bring them to service? I'm thinking, why? We can get them out right here. They said, look, you have to give it a rest at this point. So we take them two guys in the service. I've got my arms folded. I'm like, what's he going to do? Oh, dear Lord. He's not 5 minutes through his message, and those two demon-possessed boys start manifesting. He walks right over to that boy and says, devil! You don't have to know Norval. Come out! Yeah, I command you to obey me. Come out! And all of a sudden, that boy started flopping. And in 10 minutes, he's totally free, crying, weeping. And all these people are rejoicing, and I'm not rejoicing at all. I have an issue. You'd think I'd be happy they're set free. And I'm thinking, why could I? Well, that's what the disciples did. They've been working on that demon-possessed boy all night, the ones that weren't with the Lord. Because he said, I brought them to your disciples. He said, why couldn't they do it? So they ask a question because they saw the Lord do it just like that. Say, just like that. So they come to him and they pull him aside, Matthew 17, verse 19. And they come to his disciples and they pull Jesus apart and said, they asked the question. It's the biggest question of all. Taking 30 years to answer this one. Why could we not cast him out? Why can we not get him out of the wheelchair? Why can we not? We pray We have the name of Jesus. I mean, we do get results, but there's a whole realm out there that very rarely gets touched. You know it. I mean, just be honest about it. Why can't we do this? We have all the keys. And guess what he says? And Jesus said to them, because of your, what? Unbelief. And verily I say, if you have faith as a grain of mustard, you could say in this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it would remove, and nothing shall be impossible. Howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. I don't really believe he was talking about this kind of spirit. I think he was talking about this kind of unbelief. This level of unbelief is not going to go out unless you understand what I just did with my father on that mountain. Because until you understand this exchange, this kind of unbelief is never going to disappear. Because there's only so much you can do until you make the exchange of his glory for who he is. Do you see that? This kind's not ever going to change until you understand what just happened with me, because he come off of that mountain. Though they couldn't see the glory, those three disciples knew it. They said they hid that stuff. They saw that exchange up there. They saw the Father light him up. They saw the Father enter in him. And when he come off that mountain, that power was on him. Every time he went to pray, power was on him. So he began about a couple weeks ago. If you'll study my prayer life, you'll learn a lot. He'd go up in the mountain and pray. He'd come off that mountain and said virtue would flow out of him. He healed them all. I'm like, God, I go into a prayer closet to pray, but I don't come out with that. He goes, you haven't learned to make that exchange yet. But that's what I'm teaching you. Say the oneness. The oneness. What did he say to them when Philip said, show us the Father? Philip, don't you know? How long have you been with me? How could you ask that question? He said, who do you think's doing these works? It's the Father dwelling in me. He says, do you not believe that I am in my Father and my Father's in me? Do you not believe it's the Father that's doing the works? And then he says this, look, when you understand this thing called oneness, the works that I do, you will do also. Because it will not be you that doing those works, but my Father in me that's going to do those works. We're going to come and make our abode with you. He said, you will dwell with me where I am, but I'm going to dwell with you where you are. He knew how to go into his Father. And he knew when he come out, it wasn't him anymore, but his Father. The glory of the Father, though it couldn't always be seen by man. He let them see it on the mountain because they were there to bear witness of the glory. Eyewitness. They didn't always see it, but when they come down, they could see the result of it. You don't always know what's going on in there. What the Spirit of the Lord wants us to do in this hour is to learn how to exchange. In the beginning, he might not be just exchanging you to come out with miracle working power. He might teach you how to cast your cares first. He might teach you how to cast off your sufficiency, cast off your burden. He might teach you smaller things at first. Come boldly to the throne of grace to exchange your sufficiency for my grace. But as we learn the position and we learn the exchange, he's going to increase that exchange. Because he said he would. He said, if you will abide in me and my words abide in you, if you will keep my words, he said, my Father and I will come and make our abode with you in the earth. We will come and dwell with you. He said he would do it. That's what we're after. Everyone say, this is the year. I just prophesied, hallelujah. This is the year. The manifested sons and daughters of the Most High God. Well, you know, that's a little bit too high of a price. He never said there wasn't going to be a price attached to it. On the contrary, he said there would be. But I can tell you this, to those who pay it, it's not a price. Because you're carrying glory. And that glory has such a sweet taste to it. You'll give anything for it. He knows what he has. us. And he's inviting you and I in this last day to come up into his mountain for the exchange. At first, you're just coming to dwell with him, entering into the rest, exchanging sufficiency. But he has a whole lot more in mind for all of us. There's going to be a day we're going to come out with the Father. When we do, it's not us that's doing this, but the Father and his Son will do the works again, just like they did with him. Isn't that amazing? And it may not happen your first time in. Didn't happen to him in the garden. He had to go in a second time and a third time. But he obtained. And so will you. Amen. And with your neighbor and said, you will obtain. Because he's with us. He's helping us. He's drawing us into his mountain. He's drawing us ever so higher. Say, go a little further. He never said anything about how long it would take. All he said was, don't draw back from my mountain. Blessed is the man whose heart are the highways of Zion. He will go from what? Strength to strength. Every one of them will appear before God in Zion. Blessed is the man passing through the valley of weeping, turning it into a wellspring of life. You might have to pass through a valley of weeping, but then you're going to start making your ascent into the mountain of God. It all comes with having the highways of Zion inside you. Revelation of where you're going. Revelation of what you see. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with the results of anything going on very much in this country, to be honest with you. What I see, the God of the Bible that I see, I don't see a whole lot of that showing up. We see some, but where? Where can we bring Francesca right now? I mean, just real. If you wanted to know the truth, Francesca, if the Lord Jesus was standing here today administering his ministry, you would walk out seeing. That's the truth. And you're the one we're fighting for. Because it's that kind of works and that kind of glory he's promised for us to operate in. And he's teaching and training us. And I have a good mind to know it's not going to be us. We have to make an exchange in there. Amen. We go in one way and come back another way. Just like Moses. He went in one way. He came back with something else on him. The exchange doesn't happen here. It happens in the mountain of God. All God asked. He didn't say how long it'd take. He doesn't all the stuff the enemy fights you with. God's there with your mercy, with his mercy. The one thing he asks of us, do not draw back. Don't turn around. Don't draw back. Go a little further. Look at your neighbor and say, go a little further. You never know how much further you go until that day you hit the room. You don't know till you hit the room. Oh, there it is. Some days, like David, you don't know that in his zigzag, when his city was burned to the ground, he was 3 days from being crowned king. 3 days from moving into his inheritance. You never know how close you are. Go a little further, my friends. That's the word for this year. Go a little further. Do not turn back. Go a little further. Let's all stand. Hallelujah forever. Father, go a little further.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.